Montana talks here. Live and local. This is Montana Talks with Aaron Flint.
Broadcasting live across the big sky, Montana Talks with Aaron Flint.
All right, looking forward to hearing from our friend George Blackard here on this Freedom Friday. Of course, George is a Navy veteran. I'm an Army veteran. We got so many great veterans that listen to this show all across the great state of Montana. And so many great supporters of our veterans as well. So many family members that have sacrificed. But, George, great to see you as always. Yeah, especially given this news with Israel and Iran and kind of your perspective as a Navy veteran. I'm looking forward to hearing some of your thoughts.
Well, there's a lot going on over there right now, and it's getting down to the point where some lines are being drawn, and, you know, it seems in the past that Iran and Israel would kind of trade shots every now and then for a little bit, and then it would calm down. We'd step in, but this is the first time that I remember where we said, we're going to get involved if you don't knock it off. But also, Israel attacked them so hard and hit them so hard and destroyed so much that you know, they got to be reeling from that quite a bit. So we're finding out a lot of stuff. I mean, we're finding out that the missile defense systems in Israel only stopped like 62 or 65% of the missiles that were fired over there from Iran, which is a little troubling to some people. I think it started out better than that, but it's kind of gotten worse as it goes along. So,
but on the same hand, the number of missiles being fired from Iran into Israel have also started to wane, which suggests right. that maybe they're kind of losing a little momentum as well with their attacks.
Yeah, exactly. And I think what kind of bothers me, though, Aaron, is at this point, you know, when you have fewer and fewer options, then sometimes those options get a little drastic.
You get a little more desperate.
Yeah, desperate. And, yes, that's the word I was looking for.
Well, which is all the more reminder of why these terrorists in charge in Tehran should not be allowed to get a nuclear weapon. The question facing the president right now is, what's the best course of action to stop them from right. getting a nuclear weapon? And what is the regime going to do? I did see the Fox News First newsletter earlier this morning. President Trump said he is more hopeful, basically, that negotiations will bring a halt to all of this. But, yeah, it seems like I'm thinking of Tampon Tim, the governor of Minnesota, or more specifically, Elmer Fudd. Shh. Be very, very quiet, you know, when he's tiptoeing through the woods on the, you know, looking right. for wabbits. It's a little quiet out there, maybe a little too quiet out there in some regards, right? I think a lot of people are wondering, okay, is Iran the paper tiger that Dr. Mehrdad Kia from the University of Montana has long said they are? Is that why they aren't responding like a lot of people thought they would have responded? Or are things a little too quiet, maybe?
Yeah, I agree with you. When it gets a little quiet, that's when I start getting a little concerned about it. I don't think they are that strong. I think they do a lot of saber rattling and pretend to have a lot of might and strength. But that's also kind of what bothers me about them, you know, because they could do something drastic.
Yeah. Yeah, they are that crazy. By the way, I don't know if you heard this, but Jim Hansen, he's a 5th Special Forces Group veteran, so he knows a lot about that neck of the woods over there. He used to have the Black 5 blog. He was on Fox News and summed it up very well. So we'll get to that next.
It's June 20th, and this is your Fox Daily Snapshot. Today is Ice Cream Soda Day, perfect to cool you down on a hot day. The roots trace back to 1874 in Philadelphia when Robert Greene mixed vanilla ice cream in the soda he was selling since he had no ice, creating the sweet treat. Also on this day in 1941, Ford signs its first contract with the United Automobile Workers of America, ending a long, bitter struggle between Henry Ford and organized labor unions. During the Cold War in 1963, the U.S. and Soviet Union agreed to set up a nuclear hotline. When you hear this, you think of one movie, Jaws, released on this date in 1975. The summer thriller put Steven Spielberg on the map. Born on this date in 1967 in Honolulu, Hawaii, American-Australian actress Nicole Kidman, she won the Academy Award for Best Actress in 2003 for the movie The Hours. I'm CJ Papa. That's your Fox Daily Snapshot.
Montana Talks with Aaron Flint.
All right, I definitely want to play the Uncle Jimbo, the Jim Hansen audio. He was on Fox News with Kaylee McEnany. He's a great guy, by the way. I first met him, about 12, 13 years ago. It was shortly after I got back from a military deployment. And when I was overseas in Afghanistan, we had a great group of soldiers, angels that were, you know, supporting us and sending us care packages and all sorts of really cool stuff. And so I got invited down to a Soldiers Angels event down in San Antonio with some of our supporters down there. And I end up hanging out with Tim Kennedy, you know, the MMA fighter, Green Beret guy. He's down there. And then another guy that was there was Uncle Jimbo, Jim Hansen, a 5th Special Forces Group veteran who had the Black Five blog at the time. That's the Jim Hansen we're going to hear from here in just a second. But George, I wanted to start. Brian Kilmeade on Fox and Friends earlier this morning was talking about how he was reporting that apparently the 5th Fleet was moved out of Bahrain. Now, I'm assuming there's still, you know, some troops that are still in Bahrain and in that area. That's just an assumption. I haven't seen any open source reporting one way or the other. But he said the 5th Fleet, because, you know, this week on the show, I think there's a lot of people that don't realize how big of a military footprint we continue to have and have had in the Middle East, throughout the Middle East, you know, all around the Persian Gulf or the Arabian Gulf, whatever you want to call it these days, right? But, I mean, that's significant. If the 5th Fleet has been pulled out of, or at least the 5th Fleet leadership has been pulled out of Bahrain as a protective measure, just in case Iran really starts to go crazy here, that tells you that while Israel is pummeling Iran, and Iran's responding, of course, that protective measures are taking place right now to protect American troops in the event that Israel or Iran decides to go crazy.
Well, absolutely. And, you know, that points to something else, too, that Iran doesn't care about any of their neighbors or any other country, because these people aren't normal people. They're terrorists. And, you know, it's possible that they would launch an attack against a U.S. base in a neighboring country that's also in the Middle East. You know, you would think that they wouldn't do that, but these people are crazy, really.
Yeah, and that's the point. Actually, that leads me to the Jim Hansen soundbite here. He was on with Kaylee McEnany on Fox News, and he was talking about exactly why this regime in particular cannot be allowed to get their hands on a nuclear weapon. Let me see if I got it queued up for us. Here we go.
Oh, it's absolutely in question. The people who run Iran right now are from a sect of Shia Islam, the Twelver sect, that believes they need an Armageddon-like event to bring their Mahdi, who will help them rule the world. Now, I can't think of a more Armageddon-like event than a nuclear explosion. So President Trump rightly sees that as the red line, as an intolerable situation, and has said that won't happen. So we can't deal with them, as you said, with treaties or even with mutually assured destruction. We need to deal with them by stopping any chance they have to put together a weapon they might use to cause that to happen.
Yeah, there you go. So Jim Hansen is a 5th Special Forces Group veteran. And so the 5th Special Forces Group, George, you and I were talking off air about, okay, 5th Fleet's based in Bahrain. They kind of cover that Middle East area. 7th Fleet, I think, covers the Pacific. Well, that's the Navy terms. The Army guys, 5th Special Forces Group covers down on that Middle East region. So Jim Hansen, you know, they're the 5th Special Forces Group. They're the guys that speak Arabic. They're the guys that know the culture. Those are the guys who have been on the ground in a lot of these crazy places.
Absolutely, and that should be played all the time, because the people that think we shouldn't be doing anything don't know who we're dealing with. They have no idea. These aren't just normal people from the Middle East that see things differently than us. He said it perfectly. That sect believes they have to have an Armageddon-like happening to advance their agenda and rule the world. I mean, what about that doesn't make you pause and think this isn't a normal thing with these people? These aren't normal people.
Yeah, I mean, most nation states would act in their own interest. So the, you know, going back over, you know, the Cold War with the Soviet Union is, oh yeah, well, you bomb us, well, we're going to bomb you. Well, oh yeah, oh yeah. With what Jim Hansen is saying here is that, you can't treat these guys even the way you could have treated the Soviet Union, because they don't care if they blow themselves up in the process. They will see, like, just like we've seen with these suicide bombers in the all the years of the war on terror, they believe they will be rewarded by blowing you up, and even if it means themselves in the process.
Well, that's true. I would add to that they don't mind their subordinates getting blown
that's
up.
That's right.
Because Khomeini ain't going to go out there and blow himself up to prove a point. So
he's got underlings for that.
Exactly.
They're the ones that'll get drugged up and then blow themselves up.
Yeah. Exactly. But it is a serious problem, a serious threat. It should be taken very seriously. And, you know, the time of the thinking that, well, they're people just like us and they just want their children to grow up and be happy is, that's not true. That's not the way it works there, and especially with this group of people. So, you know, they don't have any problems killing other people's kids or anything else. And people here need to realize that and realize that, you know, you can't be pulling for terrorists. I don't know. I see all these groups in America that,
well, they want to be trendy and cool.
Exactly.
With the no forever wars crowd. But what they don't realize is, like, this war already started long before Donald Trump was the president of the United
States. Long time ago.
He's going to end the forever wars, not start something, right? And the whole Israel-Iran thing started long before Donald J. Trump was president of the United States. President Trump's just going to actually do something about it and bring these wars to a halt. I truly believe that. Now, have you heard about these Chinese flights into Tehran, these mysterious Chinese flights? Stand by, because that one's very interesting as well.
This is the Montana Economic Minute.
The first step in really reforming Medicare is to realize that what it's trying to do is virtually impossible, and that is to administratively set prices. And not just a few prices, millions of prices for every kind of drug, procedure, service, and therapy you can imagine, with thousands of variants for age, health, and region of the country. I say this is impossible, but what I really mean is that it's impossible to do correctly, to set prices the way a market would, according to scarcity and demand. Wrong prices send bad signals to market participants. Author John Goodman compares the Medicare reimbursement for two different kinds of patient visits, one to diagnose a condition causing symptoms and a visit to have cataracts removed. Medicare pays almost seven times more for a 20-minute cataract surgery than the visit to the GP. Is it any wonder that general medicine practitioners are becoming harder to find? I'm Patrick Barkey.
Brought to you by the University of Montana Bureau of Business and Economic Research.
Fox in the Fast Lane.
The first points-paying NASCAR Cup Series race outside of the United States in the division's modern history saw a dominant performance.
NASCAR making history. Racing in Mexico City. And the first name on the trophy is Shane Van Gisbergen.
That was courtesy of Prime Video as Van Gisbergen won the Viva Mexico 250 at Atudremo Hermanos Rodriguez. Van Gisbergen led 60 of the 100 laps and won by over 16 seconds, the largest margin of victory in the Cup Series since November 2009. Christopher Bell, Chase Elliott, Alex Bowman, and Michael McDowell rounded out the top five. In a twist, NASCAR had the top three finishing drivers stand on podiums and hoist trophies. William Byron finished ninth in Mexico City and remains atop the Cup Series standings. NASCAR returns to the States on Sunday for the Great American Getaway 400 at Pocono Raceway. For Fox in the Fast Lane, I'm Joe Morgan, Fox News.
From Mondakistan to the Flathead, Montana Talks with Aaron Flint.
All right, jumping back into it here, Freedom Friday with our good friend George Blackard. George, definitely want to hear what you want to talk about this morning as well. But yeah, I don't know if you've heard about these secretive Chinese flights. So the only people basically flying over Israel or over Iran have been the Israelis. Dr. Mehrdad Kia from the University of Montana, you know, he grew up in Iran and he speaks Persian, so he can hear direct firsthand reports from people in Iran. He can listen to what the Ayatollah is saying in his speeches. But he said something to the effect of that basically right now the Persian joke is that the only airlines that are operating in Iran right now are the Israeli airlines, because the Israel is in charge of their airspace.
Right.
But China has had these big 747s, I think it was, say, or at least the size, similar size, flying into Iran secretively. A few of these have already taken place. I think Fox and Friends was talking about this earlier this morning here as well. And so they're wondering, and this is in violation of sanctions that are in place right now against the Iranian regime. But the question is, are they moving personnel or munitions into Iran, or are they moving people out of Iran? Which is kind of interesting, because right now Iran looks totally boxed in. They look like they have zero support from anybody at this point. The Arab countries want to see this regime out. China and Russia are kind of saying, well, you know, not our problem, really. So it almost looks like, and the other interesting thing is that the flights in their flight plans are saying that they're going to Luxembourg, but then instead of going to Luxembourg, they go into Iran, and then they disappear from radar, et cetera. But it almost makes you wonder if some of the regime in Iran is trying to find a way out, or is China bringing something in? That's the question. And the other reason why I think that's very interesting, remember when Rob O'Neill and SEAL Team 6 killed Osama bin Laden in Pakistan? The very next morning, communist Chinese agents were on the ground basically trying to collect intelligence from that crash site the very next day.
Oh, yeah, absolutely. And, you know, they could be doing a little bit of both, Aaron, bringing things in, taking people out. You know, they could be helping the Iran's leadership, you know, get out of the country in anticipation of these strikes. So it's really hard to say. We could speculate all day long and we'll never really know what the heck they're doing. But, you know, I was reading that the way they went in there, they tracked these planes and they took a route where eventually they knew they could disappear off radar at the very last and not necessarily just fly straight in there. So they're being sneaky about it, and they always are. But it'll be interesting to see if we ever find out what's going on there. But it's definitely something to worry about.
We talked about the Fifth Fleet being moved out of Bahrain. Bahrain, for those of you who don't know the map over there in the Middle East, Bahrain's a, you know, an island basically off the coast of Saudi Arabia. It's just north of, you know, the United Arab Emirates, which is where Dubai's at. A lot of people know Dubai. And then, you know, right across the water from Iran. So right there. But look, whether you're in Kuwait, the UAE, Qatar, 40,000 active duty troops and Defense Department civilians are currently deployed in the Middle East. Even with recent withdrawals of U.S. troops and personnel from the region, I got that from the DOD early report this morning from the Military Times. So even with these recent withdrawals, there's still about 40,000 active duty troops and DOD personnel in that whole region, very much in the target zones if Iran decides to go crazy.
Well, that's true. And, you know, there are people in the U.S. military that are in dangerous places year-round, all the time, every year, every day. And people don't think about that because they think, well, the war is over, so, you know, we're home. But, you know, there's a lot of people out there. You've been to Africa and all these other places where, you know, we have people over there. And it would surprise a lot of people to know where those people are.
Yeah, exactly. And that's why we pointed that out. You know, we call this segment here with George Blackard, and I just call every Friday Freedom Friday because dang right, we live in America. People sacrificed for this. Some gave all for this freedom. So let's remind people about that freedom. But also, some people wear red, and they call it Red Friday. Remember everybody deployed. 40,000 people deployed right on this Freedom Friday, on this Red Friday, just in the Middle East alone. How many others are on the Nimitz carrier strike group right now headed that direction?
Absolutely. And, you know, think of all the ones we have in Europe and different parts of the Pacific. And, I mean, there are a lot of people out there that are doing a tough job. And so, speaking of that, it really infuriates me when you have someone like Jasmine Crockett or all these people that you see, a lot of politicians getting on the news right now trying to turn people against Donald Trump by saying, our poor military members don't deserve that. Our poor, I can't believe they have to serve under a commander-in-chief like that. Well, if Jasmine Crockett had spent 10 seconds in the military, then maybe I'd listen to what she had to say. And same goes to all those other politicians, right? So that's what gets me angry about when they try and sway people against the president or whatever it is, whoever it is.
Well, she was basically, yeah, George listened to the audio clip that I was listening to during the last break, and she was basically complaining about the U.S. military parade last Saturday in our nation's capital. It was the 250th birthday of the United States Army. As I understand it, planning for that parade started under the Biden administration. And Donald Trump, who loves to talk, who will talk for an hour just because he's got cameras and he's in the Oval Office and he'll speak his mind. Most transparent president probably in the history of the presidency. He only spoke, one of our callers said, he only spoke for like 7 minutes that day.
Yeah.
So he cut it short so that they could spend, you know, hours honoring the U.S. Army and honoring our U.S. military. But back to Jasmine Crockett. Actually, no, what were you going to say before?
I was just going to say, how cool would it have been to be sworn in right there by the commander-in-chief?
Wasn't that awesome?
I mean, that is cool. But there's a reason why Army enlistments are hitting all-time highs right now. And this is the type of thing we need to continue that.
And the Navy, too. In fact, I think I had audio yesterday. I'll see if I can find it. It was the Navy secretary, the SecNav, talking about how well the Navy's recruitment numbers are going right now. All right, Jasmine Crockett. So basically, the Daily Wire has this headline: Texas Democrat slams Trump supporters as mentally ill, then demands they be more bipartisan. This was the quote. She says, we've got a mental health crisis in this country because everyone, no matter how you affiliate yourself, should be against Trump. I mean, the mental health crisis in this country, I think topping the list is Trump derangement syndrome. Fred in the Flathead sent us a message on the Montana Talks app. A great point here from Fred in the Flathead. He says, regarding Jasmine Crockett, remember, bipartisanship always means Republicans cave to the Democrats. They never have to work with the Republicans. We always have to compromise to them. They're never supposed to compromise in our direction. Great point. All right, let's go to Nancy and Roundup on the phone lines. Nancy, thanks for the call. What's on your mind?
Hey, good morning, Montana Talks family. Good morning, George, and a salute to all our men and women in uniform, wherever you may be. And I just want to say happy birthday to Alan Turing, who during World War II built a computer named Christopher with a motley crew of mathematicians in England. And they helped cut the World War II by 2 years and saved an estimated 14 million lives. They broke the Enigma code of the German Nazi computer, Enigma. So happy birthday to him. But I just want to say Iran, you know, if we go in there, I want to see total obliteration from the very beginning. I don't want this to play around at a snail's pace. And, you know, I think Trump made a big mistake. He should have stayed out of it and let Netanyahu and Israel destroy as many of Hamas as they possibly could. And I still say that it's going to be up to the Iranian people who have been oppressed since 1979 to come forward and fight for their own country. I'm hoping that we don't get so involved in Iran, Aaron and George. I really don't want us to get involved. But if we have to, and of course you mentioned we've got 40,000 of our own people in the Middle East, we have to protect them. We have to protect them no matter what. But I'm telling you, I am worried. Yes, I am worried about a possible war, and I don't want to see another one. And you better believe that Russia and China's watching. They're watching every damn move and every word's being said right now.
That's right. Well said. No, I think Nancy speaks for a lot of us out there. You know, Senator Tim Sheehy the other day was asked about regime change, and he said that's not a question for us. That's a question for them. That's a question for the Iranian people. And I think that's what Nancy just well communicated there.
Yeah, absolutely. And but, you know, we've seen it in the Middle East before. If we make a void there and we take these people out, that void is quickly filled by someone else just as bad as those people. And that's when the people in Iran are going to have to step up and see that that doesn't happen. And they're going to have to help themselves a little bit here as well.
I got a little distracted there, George, because I want to tell our friends across Montana about Reminis Angus Ranch beef and great Montana beef. You know, I went to the grocery stores in places like Bahrain, and you could get beef, but it was like, you know, Australian beef, New Zealand beef, South Africa beef. It just didn't taste as good as good old Montana beef, especially like this Reminis Angus Ranch beef out of Dillon, Montana. If you guys have never heard us chat with Brian Massard from Reminis Angus, man, he's a big part of the MAHA agenda. Beef is a big part of the MAHA agenda, the Make America Healthy Again agenda. And he's doing some really cool stuff. He's partnering with N-Soil Algae to create healthier soils for better beef and healthier people. So check out the Reminis Angus Ranch website. I've had their beef bacon. I've had their premium steaks all shipped to my house. I've found their jerky, the Reminis Angus Ranch jerky, in town pump stores, Livingston, other places from Billings to Butte. So you can find them there. I think Reminis Angus is also in some of the town and country stores. But, George, I was laughing because I went to the commissary in Bahrain, and I got some bologna, and it had the words marked on it, "For U.S. military use only." It's like, ooh.
This is Montana Talks with Aaron Flint.
Yeah, George, I had to laugh. So I was at the commissary, which, for those of you who weren't in the military, don't know what a commissary is, it's a grocery store on the military base. Everything's got to have its own name, its own acronym. You can't just call it the grocery store.
Right.
Gotta call it the commissary, or the NEX, the Naval Exchange, which for the Army guys is the PX. Same thing with the Air Force guys. Is it still the PX on the Air Force base? I forget it. Like at Malmstrom, which I've been to the Popeyes on Malmstrom.
The Air Force might call it the grocery store.
They might just be like, why would you give it another name?
I don't know.
Common sense seems to be allowed a little more in the Air Force sometimes, doesn't it? It's like, yeah, we just call it...
love you guys. Love you guys.
Back, where's Evan and Belt back, to keep been, us on track?
I've been here. Telling everybody to join the Air Force. If you're going to join, join the Air Force. I've
hey,
been telling everybody
Coast
that.
Guard.
Or the Coast Guard.
Doesn't the Coast Guard sound
yes,
cool?
Yes, one of those two would be
that
great.
That sounds kind of... You know, Barry Usher, great. One of my favorite state legislators, Beartooth Harley Davidson, he was in the Coast Guard.
Yeah.
In fact, he likes to tell everybody, we were the first ones in Grenada. We were the first ones on the beach.
Yeah.
Dang nabbit.
They were just cruising around close and it suddenly, yeah. You know.
But I just had to laugh because, you know, so I'm shopping at the commissary because, you know, you couldn't find some of your bacon and eggs in the Arab grocery stores for obvious reasons, you know, out on the town. So stop at the commissary and, you know, and as much as I try to stay away from the processed foods anymore, although actually that was pre-Billings diet, so I didn't know what to buy and what not to buy back then, but I still love the thin sliced bologna. There's something about that packaged bologna that I don't care if it's bad for me. I just love it every now and then. So I buy some of the, and it's the same bologna you'd get in the grocery stores here in the good old USA, but it had black ink on the top of it that said, for U.S. military use only. And I'm like, what am I buying here? Is this like weapons grade bolognium or something? You know, what?
Well, it probably had pork in it. That's probably why they said that. They didn't want, you know. So,
is this a weapon of mass destruction? Maybe.
Some people would say bologna is that. Yes, but you know, I like it fried. I like it grilled. I like it cold.
Bologna.
Oh, I love fried bologna.
Man, yeah. I guess it's kind of like spam, and you'd fry spam. So
yeah, it's much better than spam, though. I mean, you can get all beef bologna.
Yeah, know? That's true.
So
yeah,
there you go. That's what I like. I don't like the turkey, chicken, pork. Mixture.
Yeah. There's just something about beef. There's just something about like the beef hot dogs. They just taste better with the beef hot dogs too, right?
Yeah, exactly. That's right.
Now I got to grab some more protein chips.
There you go. Well, Aaron, I saw something in the news a lot lately that I think a lot of people have seen, and that is all of this nonsense where you have the media and the liberals, and they point to every little thing that's happening, and they tell stories, basically, to further their agenda or to make things sound the way they want it to sound. And I found one such story like that on military.com. Of all places, right? So don't think that
I think
this,
I know which one you're talking about.
So don't think that this military.com is all military.
Oh no, it's run by still a liberal media outlet.
Yeah.
So is there interesting information like I just shared a few minutes? Yes, but remember they will put a liberal spin on it because they're still owned by big liberal media.
Yeah, exactly. So the headline of this one is a veteran was detained by Marines. It highlights concerns over the military's growing ties to law enforcement. Okay, so, you know, that right there. But here's the part of the story that's interesting. There, this guy, okay, this veteran, is in a city that is full of turmoil right now. And there's a lot going on. And so he's out running errands, and they tell the story that the 27-year-old veteran, he was wearing sunglasses and a Hawaiian shirt, and he was going to get some paperwork from the VA. While listening to music on headphones, he took a shortcut around the federal building by brushing past police tape. So this idiot crosses police tape around a federal building in a city where there's riots and people are trying to attack federal buildings. So he's not innocent. This guy created this situation.
But now he wants, like everybody, has to be a victim.
Exactly.
Yeah.
And so, obviously, he's a liberal too, but that's the thing you have to do. You have to read the whole story. Because
yeah.
I'm looking at this going, I don't feel sorry for you. If you think you can brush by police tape just for the hell of it, but think of your surroundings. Pay attention. You're around a federal building. You're pushing past police tape.
Not only that,
but it tells you to stay away.
Why is there police tape there in the first place? Because a bunch of left-wing rioters were rioting in the front of a VA healthcare facility, and now 600 veterans had to get their appointments rescheduled because they couldn't go to their healthcare appointment because you bunch of jackwagons out there rioting in the streets.
Exactly.
And that's what we feel sorry for.
Veterans. Yeah, they don't care. But so that is my big point for today is read the whole story, find out the facts, and you know what? When somebody's an idiot, we got to acknowledge that they were an idiot.
Speaking of idiots, there's this liberal that comments on every Cat Country Facebook post that's written by me because they get to use our articles just like we use their articles and things too. And this guy's like, oh, yeah? Well, what about the fact that Trump wants to deny VA healthcare appointments for unmarried veterans and for Democrat veterans? That story was total. Apparently, like some UK outfit ran with this fake news story. It's complete BS, complete fake news. But this guy wanted. Why isn't Aaron talking about this story? Because it's fake news.
It's not true. Right?
Yeah, I mean, it's just like, and the whole fake news narrative got blown up within minutes. But yet, this guy was like, "Oh, how come Aaron isn't talking about this?" Because I'm smart enough to know that you don't run with what is obviously fake news, BS, propaganda, you
exactly.
know?
Exactly. Well, and so I have another story that kind of offsets the last one I just told. It's about an innocent grandma arrested and hauled away to jail while gardening after being mistaken for a fugitive. Now, this one, they screwed up. So the U.S. Marshals Service, I watched the video of this, and it was their body cam video. They come piling out of their vehicles, and this gray-haired little old lady who's about 70 years old, they're pointing rifles at her and guns, handguns and rifles pointing them at her, and they're telling her to get on the ground, and she's like, what? And she says, who do you think I am? Well, we know who you are. She goes, well, tell me who you think I am. And they tell her, and she's like, that is not me. And they wouldn't let her show identification or anything else. They cuffed her and stuffed her and took her away.
Oh, man.
Held her in jail for 24 hours, took her fingerprints, and here's the thing that I hate, took her DNA. So this was a complete failure by the U.S. Marshals Service.
When did that happen?
And this just happened earlier this month.
Oh, man.
And so this was, well, let's see. She filed a lawsuit on June 10th, so it was sometime shortly before that.
Oh, okay.
But see, they do get it wrong.
Oh, sure.
But
yeah.
I believe if you're a U.S. Marshal and you're bailing out of a vehicle pointing a firearm at a 67-year-old white-haired lady standing there, obviously with nothing in her hands, you're an ass.
Oh, yeah, careful. Yeah. Well, actually, I think that word might be okay, but yeah, but still better not to use it. But that's all right. Yeah, our buddy Rod Oster, our buddy Rod Ostermiller would have taken care of those guys afterwards. The former U.S. Marshal, a great one at that. He would have been like, "Hey, you freaking, you know," he would have pulled them all aside.
We have some great marshals in Billings. I mean, you had Rod. You got Tim. There's a lot of good marshals.
They've had
here.
A great crew over the years. Daryl Bell. He was a Democrat appointed, but great guy. Did a good job. People like that. Tim and Billings on the phone lines. What's going on, Tim? Tim, are you there? All right, we might have lost it.
I can hear you now. I lost you there for a second. Speaking of that bologna, you know, the best thing about some of that bologna is it comes with a free ring of floss around the outside of each piece. You know, so if you get something that's like a unique, you can floss it out of there. No, what I wanted to talk about, gentlemen, was, SD2 kids, they seem to be in school for an extra month this year. It kind of felt like, but...
yeah, it did.
The day after D-Day this year, I started watching the show Band of Brothers again, and I thought to myself, you know, They should have these high schoolers watching that show. They should get a permission slip from the parents, say, hey, there's going to be some graphic violence, there's going to be some nudity, and a lot of language. And they should see, maybe get some appreciation of why we have such reverence for the people of D-Day, the men and women of World War II, that era, why we have such reverence for them. There's that show. There's also the Pacific, which is a companion show for the same time for the Pacific Theater. And maybe we should have utilized that time for these kids, do that instead of sit on their phones and wait for, you know, the last week of class to drag by. I've been watching those shows over the last couple of weeks, it's gut-wrenching. Those are just such good stories and a lot of historically accurate relevance.
Great point.
Went on then, I would just highly recommend if you have a chance, watch Band of Brothers.
Yeah, especially while the kids are sitting at home now. I mean, he's right. George, your thoughts so quickly before we go to the break.
Absolutely. That's a great series. That one, The Pacific, all of them.
All right. We got Jeff in Polson, Ed in Huntley. Stand by. Back with your calls right after this.
Your morning espresso starts right here. It's the Sean Hannity Morning Minute.
There's other stuff that kind of disturbed me today, and I'm not really sure what to make of it, what it's about, but China did send mystery transport planes into Iran. I don't know if our intelligence was able to pick that up. I would absolutely like to know what they had there. Overwhelmingly, we've been going over these polls day in and day out, but Americans, you know, look at the Insider Advantage and Trafalgar polls. 75% of respondents said that Donald Trump should take out these facilities by any means necessary. I mean, that's a pretty strong message. And I do know that there definitely are those that...
The Sean Hannity Show from coast to coast later today.
Hey, it's Sean Hannity here. It's no secret. I have been very outspoken ever since I was able to save money. I've been a longtime buyer of precious metals like gold and silver. In fact, I've been purchasing them for many decades now, and I'm so glad that I have. But who do I choose to help safeguard my money? Here's the deal. I've been with the award-winning precious metals dealer, Gold Co., for years now. I am a customer of Gold Co., and I was frankly relieved to find a great company that I trust and that I have stuck with, and they stick with me for the long haul. They keep it simple, and they've taught me a whole lot about the value of precious metals and how they can help protect your savings. I simply want you to call, no obligation, 855-815-GOLD, or just go to HannityGold.com. They'll send you a free 2025 gold and silver kit. You'll also learn about their unlimited bonus silver offer, and you're not going to want to miss that one. Trust me. Anyway, call now, 855-815-GOLD, or just go to HannityGold.com. That's HannityGold.com today. Hey.
Fox Country.
I'm Michelle Pulino. All the live performances that will be aired on CMA Fest have been announced. Ashley McBride will return to recap the four-day concert series held in downtown Nashville. But this year, she'll be joined by Cody Johnson. The list of country stars taking the stage include Trace Atkins, Jason Aldean, Riley Green, Brandon Lake, with Jelly Roll, Ella Langley, Parker McCollum, Zach Top, Shaboozy, and more. Dolly Parton is getting a special honor from the Film Academy, not for her music, but for her heart. The country legend will receive the Jean Hersholt Humanitarian Award at this year's Governor Awards for her decades of charitable work in literacy and education. Parton, who's been nominated twice for Best Original Song, is being honored for her impact through organizations like the Dollywood Foundation and Imagination Library, which has provided millions of books to children worldwide. That's Fox Country on Fox News.
This is Montana Talks with Aaron Flint.
All right, let's jump right into the phone lines here. I know we just got a quick few minutes left this hour of the show. We will have the phone lines open in the 9 o'clock hour as well. Jeff in Polson, first up. Good to hear from you. What's going on?
Hey, good morning again, gents, and happy Freedom Friday. One thing you have to remember about the Air Force is that we were the only force where the enlisted sent the officers out to fight and die.
So, that's right. That's right.
I think we kind of maybe had it right as a 28-year enlisted guy.
Hey, as a former butter bar, I can go with you on that one.
Yeah. Real quick, one of the things I haven't heard anybody talk about, and, you know, being in the intel profession for 28 years there, there's a lot of things that go on that you can't tell people about. And the thought struck me this morning is that with all the meetings in the Situation Room and stuff, we've said how far Iran is from a nuclear weapon, and I have no insight into that at all. But for years, there was threats from countries about a thing called dirty bombs, and for people who don't know what those are, that's where you just take a layer of radioactive material and use it in the warhead. It doesn't detonate like a nuclear weapon, but it spreads that material over a wide area and makes it uninhabitable. And so the question I have not heard asked on national media is, how close is Iran to a dirty bomb? Not a nuclear weapon, but a dirty bomb.
Well, and what are their proxies poised to do potentially as well? I know the Disney family in Libby, Montana, says, are we ready? They sent me a message, the Disney's from Libby. They said, are we ready here at home if Iran decides to get even? And they shared a post by Sam Faddis from AND Magazine, a former CIA operations officer. Jeff, great to hear from you. Ed in Huntley. Ed, what's your thoughts?
Yeah, I just have a question I haven't heard anybody bring up, and it's no one's for the idea of changing the regime, right? So,
or at least us being the ones to do it.
Right, so because the next leader in line would just likely do the same, so the people would be stuck within the same situation. So wouldn't the idea be to take out the regime and then take out the next 10 in line to help the people in their decision of their next leader?
Well, I think that's why, you know, as people talk about who's next, if the Ayatollah, you know, is transported out of there on a secret Chinese flight or something like we were speculating earlier. Yeah, great question, Ed. One thing that I can't remember who brought this up, Reza Pahlavi, I think Dr. Kia brought this up, Reza Pahlavi, who's part of the former Shah's family, maybe that's your interim leader before the people of Iran choose an official leader, formal leader. But yeah, I know we do not want to be the ones, you know, democracy building over in that neck of the woods, that's for sure. George, your thoughts?
Well, I think that's true, and he brings up a good point. So if you get rid of the Shah, then the people right behind him are just going to step up. So I think that is definitely something to think about, because it's not like if we take him out, the people are going to step right in and everything's going to be calm and taken care of. And in fact, if he sneaks out of the country, which a coward would likely do, then he's just going to run it from somewhere else. And those people are going to follow him no matter where he's at. If he could be in China running everything there, and they're going to do everything he says because they're zealots, and that's the way they see him.
Hey, I know we got less than a minute to go. You were looking at the massive paper and show prep I've got. What caught your eye among all these news stories I've got scattered in front of me? What caught your eye?
Well, I saw this one about Ilhan Omar forced to delete post on Juneteenth.
You know, that's a good one.
I don't know how long we're going to put up with her being a U.S. member of Congress, the U.S. Congress, talking crap about our country and running us down and telling us how great everywhere else in the world is except here.
Yeah. She shared a post about ending slavery in Juneteenth, and she finally had to delete it because everybody was telling her to go back to Somalia and end the slavery there that's still going on right now. So she had to delete the post. George, always good to see you, my friend. Thanks for being with us.
This is the Montana Economic Minute.
The first step in really reforming Medicare is to realize that what it's trying to do is virtually impossible, and that is to administratively set prices. And not just a few prices, millions of prices for every kind of drug, procedure, service, and therapy you can imagine, with thousands of variants for age, health, and region of the country. I say this is impossible, but what I really mean is that it's impossible to do correctly, to set prices the way a market would, according to scarcity and demand. Wrong prices send bad signals to market participants. Author John Goodman compares the Medicare reimbursement for two different kinds of patient visits, one to diagnose a condition causing symptoms and a visit to have cataracts removed. Medicare pays almost seven times more for a 20-minute cataract surgery than the visit to the GP. Is it any wonder that general medicine practitioners are becoming harder to find? I'm Patrick Barkey.
Brought to you by the University of Montana Bureau of Business and Economic Research.